JT Podcast, Episode 6, Anime Expo Report. Live from my bedroom. Hooray. Alright, before I start, you notice it's a pretty long podcast today, and because I got a lot to say. Before I go into that, I want to say a shout out to DJ Aran Maes from the Anime Jam Session Podcast. You can go and check that out at djranmaes.net. Thank you very much for giving me a shout out on your podcast, Ranma. Okay, so this Anime Expo happened over at Los Angeles Convention Center in, quote-unquote, the ghetto. But anyways, it wasn't really that much of a ghetto. More like just bums asking for money. Other than that, not really that much of a big threat. In any other downtown area, you're going to expect a lot of homeless people running around. So, nothing really different from what we see here in Vegas, especially North Las Vegas. So, I'm going to go chronologically go through all the days that I've experienced at Anime Expo. Day zero was pretty much a challenge just trying to find the hotel. I was in the car with Raymond, Jason, and Raymond's friend, Christian, and myself. I was in there, so it was about five people in the car. Starting off, and I believe that song that Jason had was, I think it was Teriyaki Boys. I haven't really heard a lot of their music, so I was assuming that the song he was playing in the car was that. And then, I didn't really sleep in the car. I was just too excited for AX. When we finally were going towards the LA area, we started freaking out because there was a lot of highways and just a lot of crazy drivers. This is Los Angeles, after all. And this, the morning rush, we were able to get through it most of the way. And we did bombard into some traffic, but it wasn't too bad. And then some stupid truckers that weren't giving us the right of way. Idiots. So, we're going down to the downtown area of Los Angeles, and here's one of my first gripes here. A lot of one-way roads, so that pissed Raymond off, because he was like, what the hell? There's only one-way roads. Why? Fortunately, we found our hotel, and we stayed over at the Millennium Biltmore Hotel. And then we looked at valet. Valet in the parking area in the hotel was $40 a day. And that was another what the fuck. So, instead of going there, we went over to what is called the Pershing. I think it was called Pershing Parking or something. Pershing Park. I don't know what the name of it was. But it was cheap. It was about $15 a day. Okay, I admit, it was expensive still, but it was more cheaper than stupid hotel. That's a joke right there. $40 a day, you're going to make people pay. And it's lame parking, and I don't think there was in-and-out privileges, so that was even more lame. Big gripe there. They needed to have, like, some sort of AX discount. But, you know, AX, they don't really give a shit. So, we finally find the hotel, and unfortunately, check-in doesn't start till 3 p.m., so that's another fuck you. So we just got whatever we needed, and all of us walked over to find 7-Eleven. Wasn't much in there, so we left that place and walked all the way to Denny's while enjoying the scenery of homeless people. Nobody really, like, encountered us, but that's actually a good sign. So we go to Denny's, we have breakfast there. Jason was trying to check out the laptop, make sure it was working, try to find an internet signal. Sadly, couldn't find one, so. And then Jason wasn't really hungry, so he went over to where he's supposed to stay at, Holiday Inn. Lucky. Because it was really close to the LA Convention Center. Lucky bastard. So as he left, he had a head start going over to that place. And then the rest of us, Christian, Raymond, and I finished up our breakfast, and then we all went over to the Los Angeles Convention Center, stand in line. Well, not really stand in line. We actually sat down in the shade. Yeah, but then stupid staff told us to stand up in the hot sun, bastards. But it wasn't that long until they actually let us all in into where we're supposed to get our registration. Nice of them, but registration was then another 4-hour wait for nothing. So we just stood in line for a good 4 hours and waiting. Till they finally get the computer terminals on at around 3 o'clock. I was like second in line. And I got my ticket. That was pretty quick. I was actually impressed by the registration system. It was pretty fast. None of this crazy waiting for forever for nothing. But we got our badges. And then there was an area where you can get your lanyard for your badge. I got two. Shh, don't say anything. And then after that, I walked straight back to the hotel because that's alright then. It was already 3 o'clock. Time to check in. So I had to go all the way to the Pershing parking place, whatever it's called. Had to go lug my bag and my luggage and all that. Which I regret. I would rather have lighter. I should have packed lighter for this trip. It seemed that I was carrying too much stuff with me. So that was a big minus for my side. So finally get to the hotel. And since Christian only booked it for two people, I had to wait a bit until he actually went into the room. And luckily he was able to get extra cards to access the hotel. So we kind of cheated the system there. Who doesn't, actually? Come on, there are some anime cons where they have like up to 12 people in one hotel room. It happens. It works. I'm happy that we only had four people in our hotel room, which was still a lot of people, though. So, I mean, you know, imagine a crazy room full of 12 people and all of them waiting in line just to get hot water from the coffee pot for the ramen. Yeah, that's insane. So, I slept for like maybe a good 2 hours, and I was trying to find an internet connection so I could do my homework. Fortunately, I was able to find kind of an okay signal. It kept dropping too much. So I was like, fuck it. And go downstairs and we all walked over to Little Tokyo. Had some dinner there. Did a bit of shopping. Especially for ramen and some other perishable foods. Well, as in perishable, as in they're in... what's it called? They were in packaging, so they wouldn't perish like in the next day. But I mean, they were good like dried foods, so you can take it with you, like in your bag or in your pocket while you go to the con, so you don't have to pay super amount of money to go and eat. So I had a lot of ramen that I bought. And then we all walked all the way back to the hotel. That was pretty fun in Little Tokyo. Good place. I highly recommend it if you ever go to downtown Los Angeles. Or if you go next year to Anime Expo, which is in 2009, same weekend, that you guys go and go to Little Tokyo. Check out their... They have a supermarket in there. You can go and get some snacks or whatever for a good, decent amount of money. Usually a lot of snacks are 99 cents to $1.99. It's a nice plug there. Back to the hotel after... Little Tokyo, and didn't feel like sleeping yet. So me and Raymond, we wandered around the dark city. We found this place where it's like if you go downstairs, it's like an escalator going downstairs, and you find like all these other food places. We were trying to find a subway system, but that didn't happen, so it was okay. And we found all kinds of interesting things there, stores, restaurants, but it was all closed. For some reason, they closed pretty early. So instead, we just walked it all the way to Jason's area. The, what was it called? Holiday Inn. There we go. Well, before we did that, we checked out the quote-unquote rave. Yeah, we were only there for like a good 3 minutes and then we left. It was bad. And then Raymond found Anne. I was like, whoa, what the hell? Anne is here? It's one of Jason's good friends. That was an interesting meetup. So after checking out the expo for a little bit, we went over to Jason's area. I mean, his hotel. We hung out for a little bit at the pool. We found Chibi's friend as well. They were there. And we met up again with Stephanie, one of Jason's friends from California, also known as Auntie Aichan. Really cool person. And this is interesting. She actually wore a Pikachu pajama thing, like overall thing. Kind of similar to like the Lane Bear costume. Yeah, that's pretty cute. Okay, and I was feeling tired, so I started walking all the way back, and so did Chibi. And her buddy too. So walking all the way back to the hotel, and we talked a little bit in the lobby, laughed and all that, whatever. And then I went back to my room to sleep. So day one of the convention. Here we go. So I get up, have my ramen, yay! And I was surprised that it actually does work. Putting water into the ramen. Of course you put water in ramen. I meant water into the coffee pot. Wait for the water to become hot. And pour out your hot water into the ramen. It works. It's cool. I'm happy. And let me think here. So then I get into my costume, cosplay, whatever. And it was... I was cosplaying as Hale from Hale and Goo. And I had this kind of like a red, temporary red hair, I mean not red, but blue hair dye. I put it on my head and I have blue hair. Great. And then I go on to the, and then I get all my stuff ready. We all go down into the bus, which would pick us up and then drive us straight to the convention center. And it wasn't until like an hour or so where the stuff for my hair started coming off, the blue coloring. Because of the humidity and all that, I started sweating buckets. It sucked. And the blue dye for my hair started coming down. It's failed. It just failed. So I was like, ah, fuck. I'm going to go back to the hotel. I'm going to change up. This sucks. So then... Yeah, I go back to the hotel, and yeah, it was just all blue, like all over my face. It was pretty bad. So I just got rid of it, and it sucked. So I went back to just regular clothing, my Lord Katsuhiko Genai clothing, bandana, glove, and all black except for my shorts. My shorts were blue. So, luckily. I found an interesting area. It's this convenience store nearby our hotel called Famima. Now, for those who are not familiar with what Famima is, it's pretty much you get Starbucks, 7-Eleven, and a Japanese store all together in one place. It's one of the best things I've ever seen. I go in there, it looks like Starbucks. I go into the little shopping store area looks like a Japanese store and a 7-Eleven combined. It's great. I love it. And then I look over to, oh, they got ramen. Cup ramen. 99 cents. This is awesome. And it's not far like Little Tokyo. We should have thought of that, about this place first. But yeah, I mean, Famima is really cool and they open really early and they close at midnight. So... We're like, yeah, this is going to be our place for food and all that. I was able to get some green tea there, water, Red Bull, So if you're ever in Los Angeles and you really want to get it to want to go to a convenience store with all with like a nice selection of food at a small price, Famima is it. And not only that, they also have like what's it called? They have like chicken teriyaki buns and stuff, and some fried chicken sticks in like right next to the cashier, the counter. And there's some really good stuff there. I highly recommend you guys, if you ever go to LA, go check out Famima. There's like about 30 locations out there. Really, really fun, really nice people there. It's a really cool place. So, alright, going back to the convention, day one. I finally go into the exhibit hall, and guess what? I barely buy anything. It's really small. I was surprised there was no Genion, of course. Genion went out of business. Rest in peace. No Tokyo Pop, they were not there. I was surprised. And 80 Vision, they're the ones who had like the two-story giant monstrosity of an exhibit booth. You know, they usually throw down T-shirts and plushies and toys and stickers from up above. They were not at Anime Expo either. It was just wow. I mean, the deals room looked smaller. However, there were some other exhibits though that were trying to make it look like it was a big exhibit hall. Wizards of the Coast was there. Funimation, big appearance. They had the whole Ouran High School Host Club setup going on. That was pretty cool. And what was it called? I believe the Bandai was there too. They were showing off some video games there and anime. But then it wasn't all about that. I really wanted to go for like the small budget CDs and stickers and buttons. I'm more of that type of person now. I used to go and like go crazy and just buy whatever DVDs and whatever crazy wall scrolls and posters and hard to find video games. I used to do stuff like that. I don't do that stuff anymore. So I'm more of like, you know, very, very frugal with my money. Even though I wasn't really frugal on the next few days, but I'll talk about that later. I found this one booth selling CDs for $1. And these were old school anime soundtracks. I was like, ah, yeah, that's it. I gotta buy these. So it was about Megazone 23, the soundtrack. Silent Mobius 2, the soundtrack. And Battle Skipper, the soundtrack as well. And then I found I found Sister Princess, the Image album, which was actually pretty cool. It's a pretty cool album if you're into Moe and all that. Total, $8. That's all I spent for day one. $8. $8. So with the rest of my money, I actually did have a good dinner. I went back to Famima and bought some more stuff. Yeah. So that I don't think that pretty much ends day one. No, I went back to the hotel, had my dinner, ate there, rested up for a little bit, did some homework, and then after that, headed out. Brought both of my speakers. I brought my small one and my bigger boombox. So I brought that and just went out. Back to the con, play some music for people, entertain people. And apparently, at night, I think it was during day one, they had the paramedics at the dance. For some, I don't know what happened, but, from what I saw, it looked like somebody collapsed. I don't know what happened after that. And then I was like, oh boy, that's fun. And then I met a few people there, during that time at the night, just hung out, just chilled with some people. That's it. I just wanted to extend that whole entire first day one. I didn't come back to the hotel till like 2 in the morning. And that's when I heard the first sound. It was like, because my room was the 8th floor. And there was it was between the 8th floor and then a hallway. And then another hallway, and then it was finally the room that we're in, room 866. I swear, I think that hotel that we were in was haunted the whole time. because every time I walked down that hallway, I always heard whispers and stuff. And this was like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning when everyone's asleep. And I'm a DJ, and I have good hearing. So, yeah, that place kind of creeped me out. So a little advice here. Be a little wary if you're going to be staying over at the that hotel, the Millennium Biltmore. Because that place was built like around the 1920s, so... You gotta figure out that just gotta be something crazy, you know, something supernatural in that area. So, I tried my best to avoid it, but every time I walked down there, for some unknown reason, my hair would just stick up for no reason. And I would have that feeling that something was watching me. That was kind of scary, but it was a pretty interesting experience. So, going back to the con, day two. Day two, I was trying to find my first cosplay gathering, because I was dressed up as Hideki from Chobits. This was during a Friday, and it was still humid as hell. And yeah, I did find the cosplay gathering. Sadly, Jason was trying to get to it, but he was a little too late and couldn't find it. I was able to find it, and yeah, that was my first time being in a cosplay photograph thing. You can find them. It's all online, all over the place. I'm too lazy to find it right now, so I'll go eventually, pick up some pictures, put them on my website. Yeah, that was fun. And luckily, the ice cream guy was there, and he made a bundle of money. He's selling $1 ice cream. I picked up a Jolly Rancher watermelon cup. That was the best thing I ever bought for $1. Really good stuff. So then, you know, because Hideki wears a sweater, a green sweater, I was getting hot again. So I had to go all the way back to the hotel. Luckily, there were people in the hallway, so I wasn't that scared going back into my hotel room and then pretty much taking another shower because it was so humid. I had to go take a shower again. And it was like it never ended, the whole sweat thing. I mean, just water coming from my arms and my back and my head. It just didn't stop. It was kind of unbearable. And that's LA for you. Very, very humid area, since it's near the ocean. And that there was a storm that passed by and just brought all this humidity to the area for that week. Yuck. It was bleh. So then I went back to wearing normal clothing. Had my smaller boombox with me. Went back to the dealer's room. Looked around. Still couldn't find anything. Until I found something interesting here called the PSP GPS. Now, what this thing does is that it is literally a GPS. Just like all those GPS systems that you see, like, on cars and stuff. Garmin, TomTom. Very popular, for those who do not want to, look up where they are Rand McNally map or something. It pretty much, GPS's are the end alls that make roadmaps obsolete. So then they had one for the PSP. So $80. I was like, fine, I'll just buy one. I really want to check this out. And to this day, right now, I still have trouble trying to figure out how to use the GPS. It's not clicking with me right now. It's not. I'm unable to configure it correctly so that it can read. So if anybody out there who knows how to use this PSP GPS thing, help a brother out. Yeah, seriously. I really need to know how this damn thing works. And I'm trying to use all this homebrew stuff on the PSP. Because that's right now, and that's the only thing that really is worth using. It's this program called MapThis. It's supposed to work with the PSP GPS device, and I can't get it to work yet. So if anybody out there can help me out, help me out. So thanks. Okay, enough for the PSA. Back to the convention report. So then I dropped down $80 for the PSP GPS thing. I feel really good. And I still had a lot of money left over. And it was only day two. So I went back to the hotel. did some homework, ate ramen again. It was pretty good ramen too. I didn't buy no really bad brands. It was the brands that I was familiar with. I watched a bit of television, and I decided this time I wanted to go check out The Rave. So then this is when I brought out my glow sticks that I bought over at Walmart for $4 each, and kind of expensive. But these are LED, they glow, and they're replaceable, the LED lights, which made all the guys with glow sticks really jealous because my glow sticks really were bright, very bright, to the point that they were pretty much, I'm holding lanterns instead of glow sticks. That's how hardcore these lights were. And then not only that, I saw a bunch of L's, and I had my L light where if I turn on the Death Note light, and it has like a image, it has like a L, like a letter, the letter L, the logo for that character. It shines right out of the light. So they were like trying to chase it. It was pretty funny. And then I heard some complaints about the dance where some people claim that they were playing the same music from last year. Barely any anime music. I did hear one Sailor Moon remix, but other than that, not a whole lot of anything else. Very generic sounding techno and trance. Wasn't that good? No. And there's nothing badass about it. And what one thing that I kind of like went like, what the hell? Was the whole Crunchyroll being a sponsor of the dance, Anime Expo. And you know Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll is famous for showing fan subs on their website and making people pay for the fan subs if they want to watch it in a higher quality. And this is Anime Expo, where they hate fan subs, where they hate stuff like this. So that was kind of weird. It was very odd, like out of place. So after the dance thing, which didn't really last a while, I went back to, I just hung out pretty much. Just hung out. And then I went back to the hotel, and I was feeling kind of hungry. So I went to, luckily I didn't go to Famima, but I found out that there is a Domino's Pizza that stays all the way open to 1 a.m. So I took advantage of that, and I went to the Domino's Pizza, and then Chibi saw me, and she also ordered some food. So we had like a little mini pizza party going back into the hotel at the Biltmore, and I didn't feel like going back, I didn't feel like going to sleep yet. So after dinner, I felt a little better, so I went back to Anime Expo again. Just wandered around. I actually went to one of the viewing rooms and watched anime. I think I kind of bored Shibi and her friends off because the anime was really good. It was old school. Yes, old school anime. I was watching in the viewing rooms. Barely anybody in them. Probably like 10 people. That's it. Had fun. That was a really cool time. I only stayed in there for like a good 20 minutes just to check out the anime. So then here I am walking back. Got nothing to do. So I walked back to where the buses were, and Shibi and her friend were still there waiting for me. So, okay. So I go back into the bus. And then finally went back to sleep back at the hotel. And yeah, that hotel hallway still freaked me out. I don't know what's going on, but thank God I didn't see anything. Alright, so day 3 is here. Day 3 started off with the Pokemon gathering. That was interesting, because Jason's like, hey, Warren, you gotta go to the Pokemon gathering with me. So I did. And that was pretty interesting, because I had my boombox with me again. And Caramel Dancing. And they all did the Caramel Dancing dance. Right. That was interesting. And then me going, say Pokemon! Pokemon! Everybody going crazy. That was my first foray in emceeing, which will be at the future Anime Jam, Anna Jam and San Japan. I plan to do some emceeing when I'm there. That would be interesting, because I've never done it before. I usually am a quiet DJ when I mix. This time, it's going to be very different. So, going back to Anime Expo, Day 3, back to the deals room, didn't buy anything. I was like, ah, screw this. So, luckily, I found a better area, which was called the Artist Alley. And yes, I did buy some stuff there. I bought this really cute badge where it has, like, the main Naruto characters eating ramen as if they were poor college students. It's very cute, and I bought it for $3, and I'm happy. Thank you for whoever made that. It's a really cool badge. I liked it. And then wandering around the dealer's room. I mean, not the dealer's room, but the artist alley. A lot of good stuff there. I recommend it if you're short out of money and you don't have enough money for anything in a deals room. Go check out the Artist Alley. They have some really cool stuff and it's one of a kind. So, after the Artist Alley, I did some more adventuring, walking around and stuff. What else did I do? Oh yeah, it was almost time for Masquerade. So then I went back into line and waited the Masquerade line. So that was a good 4 hours. 4 hours of waiting. So I was playing music the whole time. And then finally we got in to where we're supposed to be for the tickets. Gosh, it was just a long wait. They were finally giving out tickets around 6 o'clock. As soon as we got their tickets, we went straight all the way to Nokia Theater. I had to take off all my whatever metal electronic parts or whatever I had on me. Damn bastards. Just to get into the Nokia Theater. Gosh, it was like airport security going in. That's that bad. And then they ripped me off with a $4 soda, but I ripped them back off by bringing in food. Ha ha, suckers. So, Masquerade. Well, it was 1 hour before it started, so we were watching something very random that was courtesy of Imagination Television. It looked like live action meets animation, and it meets kung fu. It was like a kung fu parody. That was nice. And then they were showing a fan sub of some sort, or if not a fan sub, it was an official subtitled anime. Forgot the name of it. And then after that, the Masquerade began, and they made a disclaimer that a lot of entries did not show up and canceled. So we were here waiting for 4 hours in line just to watch Masquerade, which was only a little bit past an hour. Yeah, that was major fail on my part. It was like right after it ended, I didn't even bother watching the halftime show and seeing who won. I just went back. I went back home to the hotel to wash up and get ready for the night for one last time. Brought out my boombox, rocked it up. I didn't even bother going to the dance at all because I knew what they were gonna play and it was gonna be major fail. So, I hung out with the people playing Twister. That was cool. They were nice people. And they were doing like the Hare Hare Yukai dance and Sailor Fuku dance from Lucky Star. They were cool people. And I hope I see them next year. So then, this brings us back all the way to day 4. Last day. And I pretty much waited in line again for the dealer's room to open and didn't find a damn thing still. I didn't spend much money at this con, really. This is pretty sad. And then I go to like the artist alley and I bought more stuff there. Wow, that's amazing. I think I should go to artist alley more often. I bought some fan-made manga. And I've also bought some more art and some local comic books from the Bay Area Animation I forgot the name. It's like Bay Area based artists, and they combined all the best artists from the Bay Area and made this comic book. And I have yet to read it, but I mean, from like skimming through it, it looks really good. So then, and they had an interesting way of pricing this manga. It was like all they wanted was like a dollar range between $5 to $15. So then I told him, okay, I'll buy both of them for $10. And he's like, cool, all right. I like that way of pricing. That was a very interesting way, and I think I should implement that in the future with some of my future products, like my official CDs with original music. I'm thinking of doing it that way too. My modeling, pricing modeling, right there. That was pretty cool. So then we found Raymond and found Tony, who was actually he actually did bunk with us. He flew in from North Dakota. He actually was staying with us until like the fourth day, where he slept over at Holiday Inn, I think, with his other friends. We found them. We said goodbye to Stephanie and all them. Yeah, I mean, and then we were already checked out of our hotel room by that time. Everything back in the car, and started making our way back to Las Vegas. Before we came back to Las Vegas, we hung out for a little bit at In-N-Out and went to the Music for a Song place in Barstow. And then after that, made the whole entire trek all the way back to Las Vegas. And then I was the first one they dropped back off at my house. So that was the entire Anime Expo experience right there. And I got a little bit of gripes here. From, positive stuff and a bit of gripes. Let me go and look up. I gotta go back on the internet here, because I wrote like a whole bunch of these positives and dislikes. I wrote it on cosplay.com. Let me go and look this up. And, well, I'll be honest, it was a bit better than 2007, but not by a long shot. There was still a lot of, you know, bad things about the con that I wish would have been, addressed. Let's see here, where is mine? I don't see it. I think it's page 10. Da, 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 page 10. Here we go. Alright. What I liked about this convention overall: registration was very fast. I was able to meet my friends again from 2007. They were able to find me. That was amazing. So they all got CDs. I gave them all free CDs. Oh yeah, I was interviewed by Christine Saw during day one. I think it was day one or day two. I think it was day one. She was cool, and I get to see her again at Anajam. Famima was a really good convenience store, and without that place, we would die. I mean Famima pretty much saved our entire budget right there, because we were able to save up a lot of money while being able to actually enjoy having a lunch and a dinner, not like relying on ramen the entire time. I had a lot of positive responses to my last ditch cosplay, because I was supposed to dress up as Professor Layton, but that never happened. So, because it was just way too damn hot. So instead, I brought my cowbell, and I brought my drumstick. So I did the whole cowbell hero spoof, and I played some "Don't Fear the Reaper" by the Blue Oyster Cult, and then I did the whole cowbell thing. It was hilarious, and people took pictures of me. I was like, wow, this is actually my only costume that wasn't really a costume, but I got a lot of attention out of it. Yay, dubbed I am now an attention whore. Hooray. Another thing that I liked was the Little Tokyo. Little Tokyo was really cool. Even though I went there before, it was still fun just going back there again. There's a lot of tourism there, but I mean, you can find like a whole lot of things in there that you can't find in the convention area. So, we already know that Anime Expo is going to come back in the Los Angeles Convention Center again, so I highly recommend going to Little Tokyo on day zero before the con starts. Or if you have some time after the con, you can go check out Little Tokyo. Very cool place. And it's a whole lot of fun. Alright, another thing that I liked about the con, I wasn't mugged or shot. So all those rumors, no. You'll get mugged and shot in Compton, you won't get mugged and shot in downtown LA. Unless you're really stupid and you go over to the Fashion District, where you're most likely going to meet up with a lot of bums. So don't go over there to the Fashion District, because anyway, it's not even nearby the Los Angeles Convention Center, so don't bother. Artist Alley was giant. It was just as big as the exhibit hall. That's how big Artist Alley was. And I found a lot of good stuff there. If you're trying to save up on a bundle of money and don't want to pay the high prices of like two shirts for $30, go over to the Artist Alley. You're going to find a lot of rare stuff there. One-of-a-kind goods. All right. Another good thing that I liked was exploring downtown, day zero, at in L.A. That was really fun. There was a lot of interesting stuff I saw at night. Just be careful of where you go, you know, walking around. And the last thing that I really liked about this whole experience, at our hotel, I swear, I passed by this guy, tall black guy, green hair, tattoos all over himself. Just walked right by. That was Dennis Rodman. I got to see him at the hotel. And what's the proof? There was another guy who was like, yeah, I'm a basketball fan, and that is Dennis Rodman. I know him. So I didn't go and say hi to Dennis Rodman or anything. I was like, well, I didn't want to bother him. But it was cool seeing celebrities right there in the open, just doing their normal thing, right? Just being a person. So that was cool. I got to see Dennis Rodman. Now, dislikes overall, in a nutshell. The exhibit hall felt smaller, unlike 2006. 2006 Anime Expo was pretty big. Their exhibit hall was just insane. Even 2007 was pretty impressive. But 2008, their exhibit hall, I can see it from where I'm standing, right in the entrance. I could already see all the way to the back of the whole exhibit hall. Unlike 2007 and 2006... where I'm standing, I couldn't see the entire thing, the entire exhibit hall. 2006 was probably the biggest year they had, one of the many times I've been going to AX. There was a weird way in exiting the exhibit hall. You had to go outside, downstairs, and then upstairs to re-enter the place. I was like, why? Why do you have to do that? There was no up and, you know, there was no enter and an exit right in the front of the exhibit hall. It wasn't anything like that. And as always, rude AX staff. Every year, I always get somebody yelling at me. Yeah. You know, you gotta tone it down. Sometimes, you know, I mean, I am a DJ. I know that. And sensitive hearing and all that. You know, you gotta be careful, guys. I mean, I know you're probably the top dog in the whole AX thing. I mean, for the whole Anime Expo thing, but yeah, I mean, it's very, unprofessional if you're going to be yelling at everybody. You know, other anime cons are not like that. So, be careful. Alright, next year, I'm hoping for a better year. No super giant guests. Well, then again, they had Skin last year, so that pretty much killed the shit out of their budget, right? Right. Lack of Anonymous? Well, unless they were, like, really hidden, but I didn't really see that many, people like cosplaying as the Pulse Clothes guy, or I didn't even see the guy with the big cockmongler / happy negro giant poster sign thing. I don't know what they call it, but you can see it all over the internet. Manfei, where was he? I mean, he didn't really cause a ruckus, but I heard he was there, just that he wasn't really doing much. And there was, I mean, you didn't even see him with his Manfei costume. No, wasn't there. There was a screw job on day three regarding the shuttle. This whole time, I mean, the first day and second day, we were able to ride the shuttle without any worries. We just needed our badge. But then on day three, they started enforcing everybody who doesn't have like a little bus sign on their badge to pay $20 just to ride the bus. Why did AX not think of this in the first place? Really, they lied. They blatantly lied on their website where they're saying, "Oh yeah, we're gonna have complimentary 24-hour shuttles, complimentary." I had to pay $20 for nothing. So that was a screw job right there, blatantly. So the next thing that I didn't like about my experience at AX, the hotel that I stayed at, possibly haunted. Yeah, once again, I'm saying like around 3 o'clock a.m., I can hear voices and whispers. I'm not joking there. That was pretty freaky. And for some reason, my hair's sticking up for no reason. And the feeling of being watched, no joke. So that was as interesting as that was, I was kind of scary there. Next year, I hope we don't go to that hotel at all. Oh yeah, the dance. They had no water. Why? I mean, that could have been the possibility that somebody dehydrated on day one when they had the paramedics in that dance. Nobody was offering water, and you had to go outside to get the water, and then go back in. It was a hassle. They couldn't have water inside the area. Why? It's kind of lame. Plus, this is an anime con, and I'm expecting an anime dance. We needed more anime music at the con. What the hell? Why? It was pretty much generic techno, and they even played top 40 music. Pretty lame, guys. Pretty lame. I mean, you got. This is an anime con, not a club. Very different experience. I mean, different, very, very different environment. I was like, wow, this is pretty sad. Yeah. At night, there was barely any 18 and up stuff at the con. I was like, why? Yeah, I mean, everything mostly closed. The only things that were open was like 24-hour rooms. Not a whole lot of like really cool programming at night. No craziness during at night. Another bad thing that I didn't like was barely spending any money in the exhibit hall. There was a lot of clones. Like, if one booth had like all the Haruhi Suzumiya stuff, the next booth next door would have the same stuff at the same prices. Yeah, it was just too much cloning, too much repetition, and too much redundancy in all the booths. There was a lot of it. Booth clones. No, you're not gonna get my money. Sorry, guys. Oh yeah, here's another thing, which is actually a flaw of the convention center. Another bad thing was that the hallway from where the exhibit hall connects to like the front area and all that, it was all glass. And during that day, they would turn off the AC. Why? I couldn't stop. I was even indoors and I was sweating. It was just really bad. Boy. Another thing about the exhibit hall, again, as I said earlier, no ADV booth. Why? They weren't there. And Tokyo Pop wasn't there either, from what I heard. Because I guess they were reconstructing their entire company, from what I heard. Signage. Barely any signage. And even worse, because I know they get a lot of Japanese guests, they weren't bilingual, these signs. So, poor. That's really bad for the Japanese attendees trying to enjoy the con, but they can't read any of the signs, or barely any of the signs that are out there. Maybe like 7 signs I saw the entire time at the convention. Very confusing. Pretty sad. The short masquerade. After the last entry, I just left. It was like barely an hour. Maybe like a few minutes after an hour worth of masquerade craziness. Yeah. Another bad thing was the lines under the hot sun. It's like they enjoy. It's like their way of saying F you to the fans when they make you go outside in the hot sun and pretty much make you roast for a good 4 hours until you're able to go to your main event. Parking nightmare. Again, $40 a day at the hotel, and then at the park, it was $15, but still expensive. There had to be like some sort of discount on that. Parking is just too crazy. Either that, or probably Well, next year we're planning to do the bus thing again, or Greyhound it, but we'll see. On the last day of the convention, the ice cream vendors got really smart and started gouging people. Instead of paying $1 for ice cream, they made us pay $1.50 for ice cream, so fuck you. Yeah. And one more thing about this con, they did not use any of the Kensha Hall. And Kensha Hall downstairs is really big, and none of it was used. Why? I mean, you're AX, come on, AX. You could have used all the space, but you didn't. And that whole area could have been like just straight up for just taking pictures of cosplayers and all that. But you guys didn't use it. So that was sad. Overall, AX is like Disneyland. You're going to have a lot of people, a lot of yelling from the staffers. Yeah, you're going to be treated like sheep when you go to this convention. So, AX 2008, I give you guys a rating of a 7 out of 10. And yes, I will be back, because I have a lot of people who know me there. A lot of fans. So, I hope you enjoyed this extended edition of the J-Team Podcast. My, that was a really long episode.